You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How's it going?
I'm going pretty good. You know, Jazz are on a 7-game winning streak. I suddenly want them to not trade anybody.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be in.
We're all in a good frame of mind right now. And Devin's over there smirking at me. But yes, folks, Devin is back this week. Devin is back, and the sound quality should be better this week because let's just be honest, last week was not good.
Don't jinx it.
Nope.
Don't jinx it.
So, hey, Devin, how's it going?
Good. Good. We're winning. We're winning a lot of games.
We are winning a lot of games.
I left the tank.
And how you feeling? Because before we started the show, you said it was going to be a depressing, somber mood because we're not tanking.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what to think anymore. Because if we ride this hot streak all the way to the playoffs, I'm all about that.
Okay.
But guys, what if this is just a fluke? What if something happens at the deadline?
Okay.
What can happen? This could go bad, guys.
Let's not destroy the karma and the good before it's even happened by just... Let's not do this to ourselves. Okay?
Let's not create problems that don't really exist.
Exactly. Okay. All right. We're there. Let's talk about it. 7-game winning streak. John, you've got numbers. I know you've got numbers because I tweeted some numbers the other night. I want to hear your numbers first.
Well, let's look at what this did to their probability. 538 now has the Jazz finishing 45-37, sitting alone with the 6th seed in the West. That would pit them currently, if this all plays out, against the Timberwolves. And I would much rather face the Timberwolves in the first round than the Warriors or Rockets. And I'm even talking about just making the playoffs as a given. I think the Jazz are just a completely different team since Gobert got back. Ricky Rubio had a spell cast on him about 5 games ago. He has been incredible. I'm full of positivity over this, and I really like their trajectory. I still would be surprised if they didn't make any trades tomorrow. Most of the people listening to this, it's going to be after the trade deadline, so you know what happened. I think they probably still try to find a place for Joe Johnson or buy him out so he can try to find a higher seed team than projected 6th. Hood seems ready to go, even though he played great tonight. But, you know, if there aren't any trades, I won't be heartbroken. I mean, this is... Why screw this up? A 7-game win streak. Their next opponent is Charlotte, which they will surely beat. That'll be an 8-game win streak going into the All-Star break. These guys got to be feeling great about themselves.
Devin, you got a weird look because I was going to jump into some numbers here. Go ahead.
I don't know with a given game. Yeah, you should beat Charlotte, but the last team we lost to was the Hawks, was it not? I know that was
New York. It was a bad team.
It was New York. We still put 115 points on the board that night, but it was New York, and we lost to the Hawks the week before, I believe. The two losses of our last 10 have been the Hawks and the Knicks.
They've been bad teams.
Yes.
So you never know, and you think about it, the Jazz played extremely well against Golden State,
right?
Which you talked about last week. They played extremely well against the Spurs.
And Toronto, and they closed both of them out on the road, by the way.
Right.
So here, let me throw some numbers out here. This is tonight's game excluded. John, you're going to like the numbers because, hey, you're a better numbers guy than I am. But I threw this out. Two nights ago, I put that the Jazz scoring over the last 12 games, again, the game tonight against Memphis excluded, Jazz are 111 points per game. If you go over the last 10, they were 113 points per game, 50% from the field, 42% from downtown. And then if you go over the last 5, again, not tonight included, 118 points per game. They're just smoking hot right now. In fact, I retweeted, StatMuse said, the Jazz, since Rudy Gobert's return, 10.9 net rating, which is first in the league, 50.5% shooting, which is second in the league, and their record is 7-2. Oh, by the way, now what? 8-2. Good for second in the league. They're putting up good numbers right now. I mean, again,
yeah, I just I was going to say, I just pulled up January 23rd, and they have a net rating of 16.3, far and away the best net rating in the NBA.
Yeah.
Fourth in offense, second in defense, and riding high. Let's see their true shooting percentage since then. They are third in the league. Actually, they're second, tied for second with Golden State.
What are they, 50?
And only the Rockets are better. Their true shooting is 60.6%.
60.6, that's right. So,
let's see, efficient field goal percentage, they're second. I mean, yeah, all the numbers look great.
And you mentioned Rubio, right? And I was listening on the radio tonight to the post game on the way in. Rubio, over the last seven games, actually, this was pregame I listened to. I don't know what it was after postgame, but he shot the ball well again against Memphis, but he's shooting from downtown at a 67% clip. Nobody saw that coming. Seven games where he's just been on fire. Right? I mean, yep. And I'm not sure some of this sustains, but I think there's something to be said that the Jazz are playing that well over their last stretch of 13 games. I don't think it's an anomaly anymore. I think they are legit. They're a legit team to be concerned about come playoff time.
Okay. I just ran January 15th on. From January 15th, Rubio is shooting 44.4% from three. He's scoring 15.6 points a game, 6.5 assists. His plus minus is average is an 8.7. And geez, everyone's looking great in that. Joe Ingles is shooting 54% from three over the last 3 weeks. Everyone just looks good.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking good.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, I'd like to go deeper into it and look at Ricky's shooting and the way he is now versus what he did a few weeks back when he wasn't shooting well, or even December. And I even want to see what the Jazz are doing differently. But to me, one, they're defending better. And that's a result of Rudy being back on the floor. But then offensively, I think Rudy's got an imprint on the offensive end too. I mean, Favors and Rubio and Rudy are coexisting and they're doing a very good job of it. Things are clicking on offense, and I don't think it's an anomaly. I think they found a rhythm finally. Rubio's fitting in finally. And I just think Rudy is that much of an impactful player on both ends of the floor. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. And I think the key with Rubio is he knows he has to drive to score. And so as long as he gets himself a couple layups a game, then teams aren't going to lay off of him. Because if they lay off of him, then he can blow past them. And so he's a threat now. And, you know, you have to consider his three-point shooting. He's more confident in his shot. The trio of Rubio, Favors, and Gobert is really good over the past 3 weeks, ever since Gobert returned, you know. So I think Quinn finally solved it. It might be a matter of Rubio's finally figured out how to play with these teammates. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have minded Rubio traded at all. But it's like, if the last seven games is what we're going to get from Rubio, then I want to keep him. And, you know, you got to be worried about pockets of greatness followed by great falls. Like, you know, last time Jazz had a 6-game win streak and they lost the next four. I don't see that happening with this team. I think they've really figured something out here.
I agree. And I want to make one more note on Ricky Rubio, and this can be said of Donovan Mitchell too. Donovan's been on a tear, and we're going to segue into Donovan here in a moment, but Donovan and Rubio are clicking together too. That's what's crazy. You know, in summer league, we all watch Donovan and Exum play very well, and we thought that's going to be really good come season. And early on, Donovan struggled quite a bit for a while there. Rubio struggled, but the two of them are making each other better. I mean, you watch that on the floor. Donovan's a better player because of Rubio. Rubio's a better player because of Donovan. They're feeding off of each other on the defensive end as much as they are on the offensive end, and they're creating troubles for opposing teams. And I love what I'm seeing from the two of them together on the court.
Yeah, and one thing that has to be really encouraging about this seven-game win streak is you had Donovan miss the Spurs game.
Yep.
He hasn't looked that good in the last two games.
Nope.
And yet the Jazz are playing great, even though he is struggling.
Agreed.
Everyone else is stepping up.
Yeah, I think it's great. I don't know that it bodes well for his Rookie of the Year campaign, but for the Jazz as a team, I think it does. And if you ask him, I don't think he cares. As long as the Jazz are winning, that's all that matters to him. Let's segue into Donovan, though. News, more Jazz news. Donovan has now made the selection for the dunk contest, replacing the injured Aaron Gordon. Thoughts?
He's the right choice. I was surprised he didn't initially make it. But once Gordon went down, you kind of had to put him in there. And so that's how just special he is. They wanted him in the skills challenge. They want him in the dunk contest. He's going to be in the Rising Stars challenge. I haven't seen much from Ben Simmons lately. I'm sure he's still playing great. In fact, I just pulled up December 1st numbers. From December 1st, Simmons is third in scoring, but he is first in assists, fourth in rebounds. So that kind of stuff will probably still help him win it. But, I mean, Mitchell is just special, and everyone sees it.
Yeah,
he's,
he is.
He's far and away the leading scorer of the rookies at this point.
In fact,
the second best rookie scoring from December 1st on has been Lauri Markkanen from Chicago.
Wow. Well, I don't know if the two of you saw. I got in on the action just a little bit yesterday, but did you guys see Donovan and Joe Ingles go back and forth about dunking? And the NBL got involved as well?
Yeah,
I saw
the highlight reel.
Yeah, I responded. I said, Joe, wait, you were a dunk specialist? Are you holding out on us here in Salt Lake? Come on. And I said, oh, and by the way, nice first step. Because he had a pretty quick first step on that. Joe has made himself a name here in Salt Lake, but seeing those videos, wow. I was like, dang. So Joe Ingles is now the coach for Donovan Mitchell for the dunk contest. Can we all agree? I mean, is that how it's going to go down?
No.
Or is it going to be Ian Rappaport?
I don't remember who his coach was. I saw he has a coach.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, they actually have a coach and someone that helps them with their prep. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that.
So who do they have as a coach then? Is it from the own team?
Like, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. I kind of hope that one of the Jazz players becomes some sort of a prop or help during the dunk contest with him. Joe Ingles might just be that guy. I don't know.
Well, you have to have someone assist on a dunk, don't you, on one of them?
Is that one of the rules, John?
I don't remember if that's a rule.
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Don't.
Oh, okay,
don't discount
fine.
What I say.
I'm not discounting what you said. Maybe it is. Sorry, Devin. Maybe it is.
No, I'm glad he's in the dunk contest. It's going to be fun, you know, and I think about it, and I want him to do like a Spider-Man dunk where he ends up hanging upside down. You know
Heck
what I
yeah.
Mean? But I don't want him to like over-rotate the shoulder and you know, deal with something like that. So just play it safe.
Speaking of, you did see the NBA and the Utah Jazz back and forth about the Spider-Man on the dunk, right?
Right. That was
beautiful.
What I was thinking.
That was beautiful.
I'm disappointed he's not doing the skills contest too, though.
So am I, but you can't have him do both.
You can. You can. Dame did like everything a couple of years ago.
He didn't do the dunk contest, though.
Oh, I missed that. He's not in the skills challenge anymore?
Yes. No,
no he's not.
He removed himself from the skills challenge event due to being in the dunk contest.
Didn't Lillard do like the rookie game, like the Rising Stars, the skills challenge, the three-point shootout, and the All-Star game? Wasn't that what he did a few years ago? He did like everything.
Perhaps, but you also got to realize the skills competition is before the dunk contest. You use all of your energy for a skills comp and then you can't get up on the dunk.
You're telling me that you think Donovan Mitchell is going to use all of his energy?
I didn't say he would.
I don't think his energy has any limits.
Okay, well, that's probably
true
too.
The kid jumps like he's got flubber on his shoes, let's be honest.
This is true. He jumps out of the gym. Any other thoughts on Donovan Mitchell and dunk contest All-Star weekend? No?
No.
All right, let's move on to the trade rumors. Jazz trade rumors, John.
I saw this one this morning, and I wish I had saved where I saw it from. But I saw a rumor about Alec Burks being traded to Washington for Gertot in a second. Since then, talks have heated up in the evening that actually looks like the Wizards and Clippers are talking about trading DeAndre Jordan for Marcin Gortat and Kelly Oubre.
By the way, I know where that was at. Lucas Falk is the one that retweeted the article and mentioned it. It was from an SI article. I don't know if you remember that. It was in an SI article where they were talking about another trade, and I didn't get a chance to read the full article, but I saw our buddy Lucas Falk on Twitter quote tweet it and mention the trade you're talking about, I think, was mentioned in that article.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of that type of trade? I mean, it's, the way you're saying is it's not going to happen now, but would you have done something like that?
It doesn't really make much sense to add Gortat to this team. I think they would do it just to like give them more flexibility over the summer with cap space and get that second. So that would have been a good deal when you consider of how it would have set them up for the summer, but it would have made the roster kind of weird for the rest of the season. And you only do a move like that if you have a second trade that you're trying to do to move other pieces.
Right. And I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. I just don't think the Jazz are going to make a move. It's not that Dennis Lindsay has not been active, and let's be fair here to Dennis Lindsay, because you know a lot of Jazz fans are going to jump, say, oh, mediocre GM, and he's not making the right moves, and he's not willing to be aggressive. I don't think that's it at all. I just don't think the right opportunity has posed itself. Or maybe the trades involve asking too much of Dennis and the Jazz. And I'm grateful that he doesn't make those types of moves, because you still want to be competitive. You still want to make the playoffs, but you want to make the right moves to make your team better and to gain assets and reduce cap, right?
Yeah. And by it being such public knowledge that they were shopping Hood, it probably made trading him a little bit harder in that teams are going to try to lowball the Jazz.
Right.
But since he came back into the lineup and he has been scoring great, it puts Jazz in a better power position, because if they don't get what they think is a worthwhile trade for Hood, then maybe they just keep him for the rest of the year.
And
say
I
say they go to the playoffs again, and then Hood can really prove what his worth is, to the point if they want to match him or not.
Well, and we saw this morning the Clippers signed Lou Williams to a big deal, 3-year deal, which takes him off the market, which, you know, I had a conversation with Spencer Wixom and Dan Clayton over Twitter that improves the value of Hood in a trade opportunity now. I mean, he's still, you've got Evans out there as well, but Hood now becomes semi valuable in trade talks. People want something like that because he's one of the better scoring wings out there. The problem there is that, you know, Dan Clayton pointed to this. He's a restricted free agent. That's not attractive. For a lot of teams, it's not.
Yeah.
Devin, you were going to say something?
Well, it increases his value in a trade. It also potentially increases his value as a free agent when he goes to sign, because that's, you know, one less guy that's going to be on the market.
Agreed.
The thing that surprised me, though, is when you look at Lou Williams' deal, it is not as great for Lou as I would have thought. Yeah, I believe he's 31 years old. He got a 3-year deal. But it's got a third-year team option.
Right.
And it's 3 years, $24 million. So he's only making $8 a year? That seems low. That seems really low when you think about the
impact he has.
Yeah, the impact he has. But think about what bigs were going for a few years ago when Cantor got his deal. What was his deal? Like $18 million a year?
I can't remember.
When he signed? So I don't know. If that's an indicator of what Rodney Hood is going to go for, if you can get Hood at 3 years, $33 million, do you do it?
The Jazz might actually do that to keep him.
You know what? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to think here, because you see Rodney have a couple great games, and you think, yeah, I'd love to keep this guy. But at the same time, you don't want to pay him starter money.
Right.
I don't want to pay him $16-17 million.
Right.
Or anything close to that to come off the bench.
Right.
Especially if he's not going to be consistent, and you don't know. I'd rather keep Favors if you're going to start getting up into those dollars, because at least Favors is your starter and can work into a 3-big rotation.
Right.
But we'll see. It's
John,
it's intriguing to look at that deal, right?
Well, I was going to throw this out too, John. I have on good faith, at least from one person I've spoke to, that suggests that the trend for the cap is it's going to drop again. Which,
yeah, see, the mid-level next year is going to be something like $8 million.
Right.
And most of these free agents are going to have a hard time finding teams that are going to be able to offer much more than that.
Right.
You're going to have the first wave of four or five free agents, and then there are going to be a lot of guys who are going to be stuck just putting up with the mid-level and either taking a long deal of that or just taking one-year deals and betting on themselves for next year. I can see a lot of that happening. It's you've got all the teams that signed these terrible deals from 2 years ago where they still got to bear out. You still got,
yep,
you know, Lowell Dang and Ryan Anderson and all these guys that are just being way overpaid because everyone got drunk that summer.
Yeah.
So a lot of free agents this summer are going to, you know, find themselves making less than what they believe they're worth.
Right. Agree or disagree. I think Favors is going to be the guy you have to worry about losing for nothing because he's going to command money in the market. Jazz may not be able to bring him back and may not be willing to necessarily because, and I would hope they would, but Rodney Hood, he's a restricted free agent. The Jazz can match any and are likely to do so if it's within market value. Isn't Favors the guy you really have to think about?
Yeah, they seem to have solved the problem of playing Favors and Gobert together.
Agreed.
For most of the year, it looked like Quinn just didn't want to do it. I think, you know, Quinn's dying to have a stretch four there. But he's finally figured out how to get the roster that he does have to work together so that everyone is effective. Now they're a solid duo on defense, always have been, but now they've figured out how to not gum up the offense when they're on the floor at the same time. So knowing that and going forward, Derek is that much more valuable to the Jazz. And honestly, with Derek's numbers, I mean, a lot of other teams, you probably ask fans of other teams, you ask them about Derek Favors, they probably just glance at his stats and go, yeah, he's really solid, but is he really that special a player? I mean, I could see them being able to keep Derek for, you know, $14, $15 million a year just because of how dry the market's going to be.
Right. So I don't know. There's lots to think about. Like I said, I'm more inclined to believe nothing happens here. And I don't know what that means for the summer and for moving forward. But I have to believe that Dennis Lindsay is just as concerned, you know, with coach as they are to make the playoffs as anything. Because the playoffs are a legitimate shot now. The Pelicans are falling. I don't know what happened to the Pelicans tonight. They were playing tonight. Pelicans watch. What happened?
There was a roof leak and the game was canceled.
Oh, did they cancel it all together? Because I thought they were going to start it, so they canceled it. Okay.
I saw canceled.
Yeah, it just says postponed when I checked online. So.
Okay, so I was kind of hoping we were going to know by now whether they lost or won, but Jazz are, what you posed the number, how far out of sixth place are they? Didn't you say just a few games?
It's 3.5 when I tweeted that out earlier.
Out of sixth?
Out of sixth.
Holy crap.
See if it's any different now. Yeah, they are 3 games out of 6.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And just 3 weeks ago, they were 3 games out of 8th place, and we were thinking, here come the Lakers, watch out, they're not going anywhere. That's nuts.
They're what, 4.5 games out of out of 5th place?
Gosh.
Yep. They're 4.5 games out of 5th.
You know, and there's 28 games remaining, if I counted right, 28 or 29. You know, you win 19, 20 of those games, which is not out of the realm of possibilities. Suddenly you've won 45 wins on this season, 44, 45, which I think if we go back to our early preseason predictions, I think we all kind of picked right around there. Wow. Who saw that coming after an atrocious December? So I know I'm spinning the positive side of this, but I mean, 7 in a row, guys. 7 in a row with a game against Charlotte and then back home or back on the road against Portland and back home against San Antonio. There's some legit opportunity here for the Jazz.
See, and just to kind of come back to what you were saying about trades, though, I think something will happen.
Okay.
I think someone is going to get moved. I don't know if it's going to be Johnson or maybe Burks, but I feel like something needs to give because the Jazz are acquiring a new player post All-Star break, it looks like.
Who's the
acquisition? Do we have a timetable?
Everything that I've seen says that it looks like he'll be back after the All-Star break. I don't know if it'll be right back then, but
we're talking about Dante.
Dante comes back, and that's someone that you have to put into your rotation.
Yeah, but you're making a hard case to take guys like Royce O'Neal out, who is,
Royce O'Neal
I know,
out.
Royce has just been so good. That's a tough one right there.
That's what I'm saying. You clear a spot, you move Burks, you move Johnson, you do something to free open that spot, I would think.
Right.
There was a rumor floated tonight, not sure if you guys saw it, Joe Johnson for Wilson Chandler. For some reason, Denver was crazy enough to answer the phone when Dennis Lindsay called.
Oh, there it is. I just saw it. Yeah.
I don't think that happens. From what I saw, it was a very brief discussion.
Well, I want a yes or no, Devin. If that call comes across your board, yes, do you take the trade or no?
Do I?
Yes.
I would have to see what Chandler's contract looks like.
Okay. John, what about you? Yes or no?
Give me 10 seconds. Chandler has a player option for $12.8 million next year.
Okay.
Has he been healthy this year? Because it seems like he is like perennially injured.
I don't think he's looking. I don't think he's been completely healthy. I'm friends with some Denver Nuggets fans, and I'll tell you what, most of them are crying, get him out of here. Denver fans have wanted him gone for a while. So do you want that?
His numbers do not look that great this year.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's worth it. Now, granted, I'm just looking at a stat line right now, but he's only shooting 32% from three. Well, he's never been that good of a three-point shooter.
No.
I don't know. It might be better just to... I don't know.
just buy out Joe Johnson's contract?
Just buy out Joe Johnson.
Yeah, you got to think about next year, and you got to think about the Rodney Hood... restricted free agency. And again, you have to think about favors because if you have a chance to bring him back,
you might as well.
Yeah. I lean towards it and not everyone loves that, but I'm a Derek Favors fan no matter where he goes.
So am I. And watch the next 10 games. Just watch the next 10 games. If the Jazz go 7-3 in the next 10, suddenly they've gone 16-5 over a stretch with Derek Favors healthy with Rudy Gobert healthy. Suddenly, I'm a fan of bringing him back next year. Sign the guy and bring him back. Absolutely. You know, I've always been a fan of Favors, though, so I'd hate to see him go anywhere. I don't know. Any other thoughts on trades? We don't want to harp on this too long. Any other thoughts on trade options or trade rumors or anything like that, John?
No, I mean, tomorrow's going to be exciting.
Yes, it is.
I wrote down the trades that have already happened. They're no big deal. I mean, Ty Zeller went to Milwaukee. Willie Herman and Gomez went to Charlotte. I mean, these are not needle movers. One last note on Favors. He is the longest tenured Jazz man. So it would be sad.
Yes, it would.
If he wound up being one of the ones that was traded.
Yes, it would. All right. So let's move on to other NBA news and notes. You spoke of a couple of those trades. Big trade went down this morning. I guess it's a big trade. I don't know how big it is. Hernan Gomez for O'Brien, right?
Yeah, that's not that big a trade.
No, I didn't think it was that big.
It's weird, though, because Porzingis is injured out for the year. This would have been a prime time for Hernan Gomez to get more minutes, but they trade him the day after anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Knicks are a seller's market right now, so.
Yeah, they are.
Teams ought to pick their corpse.
And you mentioned other trades. Let me ask you this. So you're the first question of NBA news and notes, trade deadline tomorrow. Who makes moves? Do you think who are the biggest movers tomorrow? Because you mentioned New York. I wonder if Cleveland becomes a big mover tomorrow too.
Cleveland wants to make moves, but the question is who wants to really do anything with them? Like I saw the rumor, it's either last night or this morning, that the Cavs were interested in Rubio. And it's like, that's nice. A month ago, I would have been like, yeah, get this guy out of here. It's not really working. Now, I look at them and I'm like, I mean, what does Cleveland really have that the Jazz would want? I do like the idea of some kind of Kevin Love trade. I think that would pay off in the long run.
But he's not healthy right now either.
But he's not. But that's the thing. If you trade for Kevin Love, you're seriously risking missing the playoffs. I'd hate to do that. I mean, Love should be back, and I think he still has 5 or 6 weeks that he's going to be out. So he would be back during the regular season. But all the talent you have to send away to get him means you probably fall back out of the playoffs.
Right.
And I'd hate to see that happen. On the other hand, it would be cool to next year have these three all-star caliber guys on your team, because it seems like you really need three if you want to be an actual contender.
Right.
Having said that, I mean, the Cavs, they've got to do something. That place has been toxic for a while. They won in overtime tonight, but before that, they lost 13 of their last 20. Cleveland has to do everything they can to keep LeBron healthy. I think LeBron and the owner need to just have a sit down meeting and just really hash this out, because LeBron will not commit to whether or not he's staying. And so, you know, they feel trapped as to what moves do they really want to do. Do they trade away that Brooklyn pick to try to keep him happy and lose him anyway? Then they're kind of screwed. He saw how bad the Cavs were once he left last time, and they're teetering on that now.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
I mean, they've got his buddies, you know, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith are locked into long-term deals that they're not really playing up to right now. So they've got to do something. I think the Clippers are going to find somewhere to send DeAndre Jordan. Be a big one that happens.
What about Milwaukee?
Other teams, Milwaukee just traded Tyler Zeller, so I can see them making a second that probably moves one of their bigs. I think they've been pretty happy since they fired Jason Kidd. They've been playing a lot better.
Right.
They probably want to make a move to like get to that next level. I could see the Celtics adding a piece. I could see the Raptors saying we just got for this, trying to beef up their chances. They've got a really good bench unit, a lot of good young players. They could dangle some of those young players to get them, you know, get them a wily vet that can really just get them over the hump now. You know, the Warriors still look unstoppable.
Right.
But, you know, you got to go for it anyway.
Yeah,
I think this is really, I would be surprised if the Raptors didn't do anything, because I think this is their year to really go for it.
Well, and the other thing is, again, if the cap is trending downward, right, then you know teams are going to want to start clearing stuff off, and maybe there's going to be some rushed moves tomorrow, but you guarantee this summer is going to be as well, and there's just going to be I'm going to be very interested to see what happens if it's truly trending downward like I've been told. So
there's going to be a lot of sellers, but I don't know how many buyers there are going to be.
Right.
You know, I think Charlotte would love to make more moves just to get rid of some guys. Who else is overachieving? You know, Pelicans, they got Mirotić. Do they think that's going to be enough to keep them afloat?
Right.
They might do something. The Thunder lost Roberson, so they're probably going to try to add somebody. And then you have your teams like the Magic and the Suns and the Kings, who are just going to be sellers. They're just going to be like, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What are you going to give us?
Devin, you had some.
I heard a rumor about Oklahoma City having interest in either Burks or Hood. Did either of you hear about that?
I did not.
So something.
Yeah, I saw that, but
I don't know
what
they could
Thunder give back that the Jazz would want for Hood.
Paul George.
Oh, okay. They don't have any firsts they can send until 2022.
Right.
So, see, here's the thing.
And we don't want Kyle Singler.
Oklahoma City, I believe they were my dark horse pick at the beginning of the season. And after a few months, I thought, wow, I really blew that one. Did you guys see how they did last night? Absolutely manhandled the Warriors. Just destroyed them. It looked like the Jazz playing the Warriors.
Who was that?
Oklahoma City.
Oh, well, okay, and I've heard that part of Oklahoma City's success right now is riding on their defense.
Yeah.
They're defending extremely well right now. Well,
and the thing is, they had lost four straight before they killed the Warriors. They're a fluctuating team.
You ask if I'd seen that though, but you've got a guy who's been a premier defender in Paul George before.
Right.
Roberson, although he's out, has been one of their premier defenders. Westbrook is a decent defender. Adams is a great defender. So it doesn't surprise me that as a team collectively they're figuring out how to defend.
I think they might get it together. So I don't know if they add anything or not, but I thought it was interesting, you know, Do you help the competition there, especially within your division?
Yeah, agreed. Any other trade? I can't think of anything else to include. I mean, we could even talk in NBA news about some of the injuries you talked about. I mean, you want to touch on Kristaps Porzingis again? You mentioned it last night. Do you want to talk about it again?
Last night? Well, he's out for the year.
Yeah, I know, so but you mentioned it on Twitter. I just saw your tweet last night about it. Just like this is just another individual in a long line of injuries. I mean, John Wall. You know, and then of course Bogey Cousins, like premier guys that are going down for the rest of the season.
Well, you've seen what it is. They're all on LeBron's team, so it's just a matter of time until KD goes down and Kyrie goes down with an injury, and then LeBron suddenly has another chance at a title.
Whoa!
The injury bug is going around. Just wait and see.
You're right. All right. I think that's enough for NBA news and notes. We really kind of hit things between the Jazz and NBA. Let's go ahead and move on to listener questions. Did we have any questions this week?
I didn't ask, and I've got to get off at 10, so let's go to Devin's Quick Hits.
All right. Move on to Devin's Quick Hits.
All right. Did you guys see the end of that Cavs game that you mentioned, John? Did you actually see how that went down?
I saw the clip of the shot? Last second shot by LeBron. Yeah.
Is that potentially the shot of the year?
Hard to think of another one right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I must have missed this.
You need to see
was
this.
That tonight?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dear.
Go find that clip.
It's a special one. It's peak LeBron, especially the sequence before. He got a beautiful block on Butler to even give them a shot at that. Okay, wanted to ask. There was a very nice dunk by Greek Freak playing at New York. He actually jumped.
He jumped over the guy. Who did he jump over?
I know his name. Tim Hardaway.
Oh. Yeah.
Tim Hardaway Jr. Jumped him. 6'6". And it took me back to the Vince Carter international game dunk. You know, just going over the guy. I don't think I could put it over Vince's dunk, but pretty impressive to be in an NBA game and to do that, right? Even if it's the Knicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Okay.
Very.
Super Bowl. We'll just touch on it. Thoughts on how it all went down. You can touch on the Foles play. You can touch on the commercials. I don't care. Let's just talk Super Bowl for a minute.
I really loved it. Second year in a row where I... What's that?
I enjoyed the entire game. Commercials were dud this year. The game was great. I don't care that there wasn't any defense. It was very entertaining to watch the whole way through.
But see, and that's what's crazy is you had two teams that were defensively two of the better teams in the league during the year. You know, granted, Philly made the big defensive play at the end to really solidify the win, but I was entertained. This is the second year in a row where I was true. I mean, last year, I'm sorry, people can say Atlanta fell apart, whatever it is. Two Super Bowls in a row where I felt entertained on a football standpoint.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You didn't like the Manning and OBJ commercial?
That one was funny.
You didn't
that
like
was the best commercial.
Okay.
That was the best commercial.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what else was in that game.
Didn't you love? I love how it came down to they run a trick play. Brady misses the pass. Nick Foles, a few minutes later, he says, hey, why don't we run our own trick play? And they do it, and he catches it and scores. That was the funniest touchdown in Super Bowl history.
The guy is a Philly legend now.
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, and I'm going to say this, too. With a minute to go, Philly goes ahead, right? Brady's got 90 yards of a field with a minute. What was it, a minute 30, I think? Not even that. A minute and a half. Less than a minute and a half to go the length of the field, and I thought – before it even that drive began, I thought, you can't give Brady
a
minute and a half to march to the field in 90 seconds, even if he only has one timeout or no timeouts. And sure enough, I thought it was going to happen. And then, no. In fact, it's fourth down, and he gets a fourth down conversion, but I'm just thinking, nope, it's not to be. This is Philly's game. It's not happening.
Well, to me, I don't know. I had that fear of it happening, and I even an 8-point game, I thought, nope. Nope, you can't, even with an 8-point game, somehow it's not going to work out. But I do want to ask you guys this. They came out after the game, and it was reported, Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, telling her kids that, well, sometimes you need to let the other team win. And so I want to ask you a question. Because I had a conversation with someone today about this. And is it possible, just entertain me, is it possible that someone was throwing that game?
No.
That Tom Brady meant to catch that ball and he went, if I drop this, is it possible that the Patriots let Philly win?
No.
Maybe there's some gambling under the table.
No.
Maybe.
Nope. I'm cutting it short. Brady and Bill Belichick, two of the most competitive in the game. No.
I know. No. But I would just love a conspiracy theory to go with this.
John, go ahead. You had something to say on that.
I was going to say that this is all just something that moms say to their kids sometimes.
Exactly.
But you don't say let. That's
yes, you do.
That's not how you teach
yes,
your kids.
Yes, you do.
That's not teaching
Devin,
your kids.
Devin, yes, you do.
Look, I have a dog. Okay, I know all about parenthood. All right, one more quick hit on the NFL. Following the Super Bowl, McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the Patriots, accepts a job with the Colts as their head coach. They announce it. They post a GIF. They do the whole works of, hey, we're going to have the press conference tomorrow at noon or whatever. And then it comes out, hey, I'm not coming out. I'm not going to be your head coach. Change my mind. Bye.
I did not see that.
Why did he do it?
Why? I think he did it because Belichick said, look, I'm not going to be around much longer. You will be my heir apparent to be the Patriots head coach.
I think that's one part.
I'm with John on that one.
I think that's one part. But when you say that, I look at the Patriots and I go, when Belichick leaves and when Brady leaves and he takes over, who does he have? Because they just traded Jimmy. Who they have under center? When you go to the Colts, you've got one of the best young quarterbacks in the league if he can get healthy, and Andrew Luck. But here's the other thing that I think. The Deflategate. Which team was that against?
The Colts.
Okay. So entertain me here.
I know where you're going. Go ahead.
So he goes, and he goes to get this job, right? And the Patriots front office, Kraft, comes in and says, after that whole fiasco, after everything that we went through, after being drugged through the mud, he finds some way to say, you will be compensated. Do not go there. And he is just looking for any way possible to stick it to the Colts.
Wow.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think that's legit.
I think there's some bad blood there. I really do.
Well, there's very bad blood.
I wouldn't doubt it.
A lot of franchises hate the Patriots, but the Colts really hate the Patriots.
Yep. I wouldn't doubt it.
So I don't know if he had real intentions of ever going there or not, when you think about it.
Maybe not.
Because you have to realize that he knows that Belichick's probably going to leave soon, right? Tom Brady's leaving. Why is Belichick going to stick around?
All I know is McDaniels has got himself a head coaching job coming at some point in time. You know he does.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's enough. That's enough conspiracy theory and everything else.
All right. Let's move on to our final segment. Pop culture.
The Cloverfield Paradox. There was a Super Bowl ad for it, and then suddenly it was on Netflix. I watched it. Did either of you watch it?
I did not. I did see the ad for it, but I did not watch it.
No, I did not.
I like the first two Cloverfield movies, but this one, I can see why it went straight to Netflix. It really wasn't that good. I thought maybe we were going to get some kind of alien ripoff, and I think I would have enjoyed that more. This one was more like Event Horizon meets Final Destination. It was kind of cool, but overall, nah, not really.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and now it's 10 o'clock.
Final notes for pop culture. We'll cut it short since you got to go. Han Solo trailer.
It's fine. I'm still trepidatious about it.
Why are you trepidatious? The guy playing Han Solo? Is that your concern?
Yeah, it is. And I like that actor and other things, but I wasn't sold by the trailer.
Okay. No, and we've talked briefly in message with that Star Wars message group that we're in, so I get it. I'm excited for it. I did a breakdown of it on the Idiots or A podcast the other day, so anybody listening that love Star Wars and wants to listen, go ahead and go out there and listen. We did have our reaction show. It was 30 minutes of nothing but the Han Solo trailer. So my thoughts are there, and I liked it. I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm excited for it. So, and Black Panther coming out soon. So we're going to have something to talk about there in a couple weeks too. We've got some, got some stuff to talk about over the next couple weeks. John, I know you got to go. So we'll cut this baby down, and we'll call it a good one. Folks, if you know where to find us, Twitter and Facebook, Jedi and Germs. Listen anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs. Leave us a review anywhere you can. We appreciate them. They help us out. They're great. We'll talk about them on the show even. Take some time to leave us a review. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you very soon. John, take us out.
Hi, everybody.